Today's daf in Masechet Yevamot brought to you Mibein Chomot Yerushalayim is daf Mem Vav, and we are holding a daf Mem Hei Amud Beit, three lines up from the bottom. So yesterday we were talking about all of the different halachas in terms of tefillah. Can we rely on a tefillah for keri or a tefillah for nidais to be the equivalent of a tefillah for geirus? Once we already raised that question, we raise a very fascinating other question, and that is, there's one case where the nature of the kavona of what the tefillah is for is in fact definitive of the geirus. So if the person was tam being tevel, then okay, that's a shayla, whether something he's doing as a Jew is the equivalent of the tefillah for geirus, which opens up the whole question, what role the tefillah plays in the geirut, and that's going to be the question today. But first, there's a fascinating case, and that is where an Eved has to be also mekabel mitzvahs and so on. It's part of the din of avdus. You're not allowed to even keep an Eved Kanani that isn't ready to be mekabel the mitzvahs on him. And the din over there is you have to be mal and tevel, l'shem avdut, not l'shem geirut. But what happens if the Eved jumps into the water and he says, I'm being tevel l'shem geirus. I don't want to be an Eved. Now you're in trouble. You just paid all that money to buy an Eved. The guy jumps in and he says, now I'm a geir. What are you going to do? Go do me something. Right? So Amar, Rav Kama Bagui, Amar Rav, that the din is, halokeach Eved, min ha'oved kochavim. Now look, it may well be that this entire sugya is only because he purchased the Eved from an Eved kochavim, as we'll see. And the reason why that is different than buying the Eved directly from himself is because an Ovid Kochavim cannot own the body of another Ovid Kochavim. So if he buys an Eved, then all that he's doing is he's being kone a lien against him for work. That's all. But he does not really own him. The only time that you own is where you capture someone in war. Where over there, you've actually taken over his existence, and therefore you own his body, you own his things, you own his body. Or the person owns himself, so he can sell himself as an Eved. Over here, you're buying him from a guy, and he goes and kodam v'tov l'shem ben chorin. He jumps into the mikvah over there, and before you have a chance to say, you are my Eved, he says, hey, you are my friend. He's kona atzmo ben chorin. He indeed is kona himself. My time, huh? The guy that you bought this Eved from did not own him. He only owned a lien against him for his work. All he could sell to you was what he owned. He can't sell you more than what he owned. The problem is that there are cases where even a lien can't prevent the chalos of something else. And we have three such cases. And this is one of them. The Yomar Rava, the someone is Tov L'Shem Ben Chorin, is Afke'e L'Shibude. The tefillah is Mafkia, the mortgage. Because Rava explained to Rava, the Yomar Rava, three things. Hegdesh, Chometz, V'Shichrur. Or Mafki Midei Shibud. If you, let's say somebody has got a lien against your animal. Right? So he did some repairs, changed the transmission, whatever, on your animal. Now you're going to be magdish, this is a korban. Kedusha Zaguf is mafkia, his shibud, and he's up the creek. Because he could try to collect from other things, obviously, but he does not have the apotik, he doesn't have the lien against the specific, mechanic lien, so to speak, against the specific animal. And the other case is, you borrowed money, let's say, from a guy. He has a mortgage against all your problems. Comes along Pesach. The chometz is in your rishus. You say, okay, I mean, mortgage, it's not my chometz, you know, it's the guy's chometz, I'm a yachid, a place for it. No problem. No. The chalos chometz, the isr chometz is chal and it becomes osir ma'ano. It's mafkia, your shibud. And shichrur of an eved. With exactly the same case. You own an eved. Somebody takes a lien, now you borrow $1,000, give him a lien on your eved. Then you're mishachar the eved. The shikrur is mafkia his lien. Obviously, he could sue you and so on. But the lien, it does not prevent the shikrur from being chal. Same thing is true over here. You have a lien against this eved. The guy goes ahead and he's mishakra himself, so to speak, by going l'shem geirut. That is mafkia the lien. Now, you could sue him and try to get your money back from him, you know, but you certainly can't claim that he's your eved anymore. It's a disaster. Master of Chisdom, Maase Bevluria Hagiyoret. It's a famous case where this rich woman, and she brought her entire entourage, which included lots of avadim, you know. So she went ahead to become a Giyoret, and she had the avadim also become Gerim, that is to say, L'shem Avdut, and she had them be Tovel before she was Tovelet. Big mistake. Because since Kodmu Avadev Tavlu Lefaneha, Boch Ba'asel Fnei Chachamim, well, she wasn't Jewish at the time, in which case they were Kona themselves, B'nei Chorim. Now, but what do you see from over there? That it's Dafka because they were there first, because she was still a Goya, and they were coming to become Jewish. So obviously, as a Goya, she couldn't have prevented that, because an Ovid Kochavim does not own the goof of the Avodim. Had she become Jewish first, then she would have owned the goof of the Avodim, then it wouldn't have just been a lien, right? Okay, but meanwhile, you do see from here that so had she been Jewish, wouldn't have been a problem. So why over here is it a problem? How come? If another Jew is a full Jew, does such a thing, the guy could still be kind to himself over here. She's bringing her avodin with the kinyan that she had in them before. So it's not going to be better. So why isn't it even so that the avodin that would have been tovel after she had been tovel Hashem Gerut could still have said we're kind to ourselves? On my Rava, they could. Absolutely they could, but they didn't. In other words, the case over here is Stam. The Avodim just wanted to be Tovel. They didn't say we're being Tovel. L'shei b'nei chayrin. And that's the difference. If they became Jews before she did, so then it doesn't matter whether they say it or not. Bottom line is, they were already kind of themselves because they had been Tovel l'shem gerut. It doesn't matter if it was l'shem gerut. Even they had a mind to be Avodim, who cares? She wasn't Jewish at the time. In which case, bein b'stam bein b'mefurash. They would have had to say, listen here, I want to make very clear, we are Toglim L'shem B'nei Chorin, and not L'shem to be your Avadi. Omer of Avia, let's get this straight. The whole sugya of here is only true because you bought these Avadim from a non-Jew. So, B'lokeach mina Ovid Kochavim. But if you had bought the Eved himself directly, not from someone else who owned him, you were Ovid Kochavim, you bought from Gufei Kone, then you would have been Kone as Guf. Because we see that from the Pasuk. What is the meaning of the Pasuk that says, V'gam b'bnei ha-toshavim ha-garim imachem, mehem tiknu, umi mishpachtam asher imachem, vayu lachem la'achuza. So who are you buying from, right? Now, obviously, it means you can buy them. Hatem koni mehem. But it's stressing, mehem tiknu, lohem koni mehem. They can't buy a Jew. And they cannot be kona avonim from one another. Only you can be kona from them. Now I ask you, what are we talking about? Are we talking about to be kona a lien? And that's what it's saying? You can only be kona them as a lien, but they can't be kona you with a lien against you for your work? That's not true. It's a beferish apostate that goyim own Jews. Beferish. For your work. You're trying to tell me that an Ovid Kochavim cannot be Kone Yisrael, and the Pasuk says a whole story of how an Ovid Kochavim can be Kone Yisrael. For Aktiv, does it not say in the whole parsha of the dinim in which we have a mitzvah to be paid to someone who had to sell himself as an Eved? So over there it says, Beferish, that if a Jew was sold to a Ger or a Toshav, Umochachicha imar, we learn out means, first of all, the mishpachat ha-ger means anybody in his family who was not Jewish. And la'ekar means he's sold as a servant to a church. Obviously, we're talking about being owned by goyim, right? And it says over there that you have to apply exactly the same halachas. You cannot use any kind of force to take the guy out. You have to pay them fair market value to buy a Jew back. Right? This is your cousin, you're trying to buy him back, and have to pay fair market value. So obviously they own you. How you can't possibly learn that they don't own the rights to your work. Because it says, V'yomamar mishpachat ger refers to a goy, Ovid Kochavim. Therefore, what we're referring to over here in the pasuk of the Gambi, Bnei HaToshavim, has got to mean legufe. You can buy them and own their goof. That they can't do to you. V'karma rachmana, atem konim mehem. You can buy them. Afilu gufe. Okay? Porach Rav Acha, how do you know this? Maybe it means ema bekaspa ubetfila. Maybe the idea over here is that nonetheless, if you buy him, you don't own him until you do the tefillah l'shem avdus. But even so, if he would still go ahead after you bought him, where do you see from this pasuk that the kinyan of kesev alone gives you a right to prevent him from being a ben chorin if he went ahead and he was tefillah l'shem ben chorin? It may well be it would have been exactly the same situation. Because the Torah doesn't necessarily imply over here what the kinyan is. There's just the kinyan kesef. It may be that the geirut of the eved is what gives you his goof. So I don't see how you could prove it from here. Gosh, that's a problem. I can't really prove it. Omar Shmuel, you should know that la halacha, you have to be tokpo b'mayim. If you want to be kena an eved, you can't have him be teva. Because if he'll be teivel, it's always going to be l'shem geirut. I'm going in here, kai mitzvahs, now you're claiming that because I was teivel, you own me. What do you have shaklis to my tefillah? And what will you have shaklis to my tefillah? So if you hold him and push him under the water, b'meila, you're matvil him. Okay? So you have to be tokful b'mayim. And you have to show while he's in the water that he is your eved. Whatever you're going to do, have him do work for you while he's in the water. How that shaklis, we're going to have to see. But there's no way that you could stomp the Kena in heaven. And there's a mitzvah with this. Minyamin, famous Minyamin, who was an Evet for Rav Ashi, so he needed to be Matva originally when he was Kena. He had him go to the mikvah. So he gives him over to Ravina, to Rav Acha, b'Rei d'Rova. And he says to them, gentlemen, you're either going to do a good job on making sure that this guy is my Eved, or I'm going to take it out of your hide. I paid a lot of money for this guy. So just watch out, because Chazur de Minachu Kobayitale, I'm going to sue you for him if there's any problems. I don't want anything. He's going to tell me that there was something wrong with the tefillah, and he did it l'shem cherut. You better make darn sure that you do it right. So what did they do? They put a chain around his neck. And then they put him into the water with the chain around his neck. They loosened it for a second to make sure there wouldn't be a chatziza. Let the water get in. The moment the water got in, they immediately tightened the chain on him, right? So at simsimule for a moment. And at simsimule, then arpale for a moment. And that way, they were careful that the tefillah was kosher. And tzimtzum alei, then they tightened it. They also made certain that he was coming out with a chain around his, what's he going to say? I wasn't intending to be an Evid.
You're a free man.
You're a free man, right? And then while he was in the water, right, he takes his head out of the water. They take a bucket of cement and put it on his head. And they tell him, okay, now get out of the water and carry the cement to your master.
Yes, sir.
So there needed to be an indication that he was an Evid at that moment. So Rav Papa said to Rava, listen, we're a little bit of a question over here. We've got a situation where we've got all of these avodim, you know, and this is the minhag that we do, and as we'll see, there was a law. At that time they had, it was known as the karga, it was a head tax. Head tax was very difficult for a lot of people to pay. They were getting a lot of trouble with government, they'd throw them in jail and so on, and the government would take over their families. So they basically made a deal that anybody who pays the head tax for another person who can't afford the head tax has a right to use that person as an evet. Right? So in our family, says Rav Papa, because the Anadavir of Papa Barabbas is himself, the Avi Zuze Le'inche Le'chargayim, what we do is we pay up a lot of people's taxes. He was quite rich. You know, the beer factory makes a lot of money and makes a lot of fat tummies too, but that's a different problem, as we'll see. But anyway, we pay up people's taxes and then we use them as avodim, mishabdibu. Now, my question is, Do they need a get cheirut at the end of the Tanis? We get a right to use them for the year. So does that mean that there was a kinyan aguf on them? If there's a kinyan aguf, then there is only one way to get rid of an eved. You can't just say you're free. You have to actually write him a get, which is called a get shechrur, and then his guf is free.
Then he becomes a full Jew?
He becomes a full Jew. Do I write him a get cheirus or not? Oh my God, now you ask this question. And what if I had died this morning and you wouldn't have been able to get an answer? I would have died without being able to tell you to support the halacha. You know, how can you wait on such a thing? Good thing we made it in time. Okay, Omar Rabbi Sheshes. Rabbi Sheshes said like this. Muharakayu dahani betafsid amalka manach. Look, basically, these guys, their branding is a simon that you put on Evan. They are in the Treasury Department, right? Okay, you go to the government and you'll find their names and their ideas and so on and so forth. The government has declared, Malka Omar, the Mantelo Yoif Kag, anybody who does not pay their head tax, is automatically Mishubad Lamanti Yoif Kag. And therefore, you own them because the government has given them over to you. Now, this is a tremendous question over here. What is a big machlokas? Exactly how it is that we understand the question. We're dealing with goyim all across the board here, right? And we just said before that goyim don't own the goof of the person. So what does that mean, that the government has decided that you have a right to them and therefore you need to give them a get shechrur? What's the right that you need to give them a get shechrur? I mean, all they said was that you have a lien. That's all the only rights that they have. A big machlokas over here, exactly how this works. There are many Rishonim who taina that the question over here is whether we paskin dinam malchut adina. If, and that's what Rav Papa was asking, if we paskin dinam malchut adina, then the government has more rights than an individual. Because the way that the dina, the malchuta, will define things, and they define it as a kinyan aguf, is sufficient that it should actually be a kinyan aguf, because we have to follow the din of the malchuta, and therefore they have the right to be mafkia. Others learn that the way in which din of the malchuta dina would work would be because, for all intents and purposes, the malchut is the equivalent of war. And you'll notice that the war, and then the Rambam actually calls Hilchot Melachim, Hilchot Melachim Umlchomoteham. So in other words, anything which is a national project is a national ownership. But in the same way that we understand that in Milchama, you can be Konesh, Shvuyim, and so on and so forth, because you have in fact asserted physically your power over them, that's true of any governmental edict, because they'll just take it away from you. In which case, the question of here was, if indeed Medina Malchut Adina, is that the way that it works? And he's telling me, yes, it is, says Rav Sheshes. For all intents and purposes, you have bought their goof, and therefore it requires a get shechru.
In Eretz Israel?
We're going to see about that. Mm-hmm. We're going to see about that. Right now we're talking about Lechora in Bava. Now, Rabbi Chiya Barava came to this town called Gabal. And it was not, a lot of goblins lived there. It was not a place where people were B'nai Terah. So he sees Benot Yisrael, Demi Abram, Migerim, Shemolov Lotovli. It's a lot of Jewish girls, have married these so-called Gerim who never went to the mikvah. And they only knew from getting a Brit Milah. Right? And what's the din of their children? Women are pregnant from them. He sees also these fancy restaurants in which they have kosher wine, non bavushel, and the goyish waiters are pouring the wine for the Jewish people, and the people are drinking it. And he saw turmasin, he saw full, the shalke of the kachavi, that all these Jews were sitting there, and they were boiling up this food. And actually he saw Jews would eat this, and they weren't choshes from bishul akum. So he didn't know what to do. But he came to Rabbi Yochanan, and he told Rabbi Yochanan the story. He wanted to know, what do I do, la halacha? On my list, Rabbi Yochanan says, look, you got to act against this place. It's a disaster. First of all, tsevach reizal b'dehim shem mamzerim. The children that have been conceived by these so-called gerim who never went to the mikveh, they're mamzerim. and go and let everybody know that the wine, basically, you have to treat as Yayin Nesach, even though there was no actual Negiah in the wine, but that we're goes there because of the possibility of Negiah. And the Turbisim tell everybody they're also Bishul Bishalakam. They aren't really. But since it's a place, Lefish Einem B'nei Torah, you can't compromise, because if they're not, they don't know how to compromise. They'll take whatever you tell them, and they'll apply it across the board. So we're going to look at each one of the three issues. Al B'neim Shei Mamzerim. Why is that? This is Rabbi Yochanan Latayim. Dom Rabbi Barav, Om Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Olam Ein Ger Ad Shimo V'Yitvo. You need to have both Bila and Tvila. In this case, given a lot of Vil, Ovikokovimu. So let's first establish these people were Goyim. Once we've established that they're Goyim, we also know Rabbi Yochanan Shita, as we saw earlier, that Omar, Rabbi Barbachan, Om Rabbi Yochanan, Ovid Kochavim, Ve'evet, Haba, Bat Yisrael, Avlad Mamzer. That, given that they're Goyim, if they impregnate a Jewish woman, the child is a Mamzer. That's item number one. Item number two, Al Yeinam. Mishum Yayin Nesach. That's because, even though it isn't truly Yayin Nesach, however, as we know, the halacha is that lechem rina neziras chor zchor lekarma loti karev. We tell a nazir, walk around the vineyard. Don't get too close. And the same thing is true of you. We're going to have the waiters get close to the wine like this and allow people to drink from it. In the end, they'll be drinking Yayin Nesach manish. And on the Turmesin, Bishum Bishulei Akam Lafisheinah B'nei Torah. What does that mean? That if they would be B'nei Torah, would be Mutter? Yes, it's exactly what it means. Why is that? Is it not? It says only things that are Nechal Chai. Now, one thing that is never Nechal Chai is Turmus. Turmus requires more cooking than anything else that you know. The Gemara talks about it. It's got to be cooked for hours and hours and hours. So if the only Hagdora that we know of is that Rav said, if it requires cooking, it's Osral's Bishalakum, why isn't this Osral's Bishalakum Iikar Adin? Turmasenu Nechakum Otshulchai, in which case, Yeshua Mishum Bishalakum, it should be Osir. Rabbi Yochanan Ki Idach Lishna Svirolei. There is another actual report of what it was that Rav had said there. And it wasn't that the criterion is the question of Nechal Kishulchai, but rather it's Koshen Ola Shulchan Malachim Lacholbo et Hapat, Ein Bo Bishum Bishulako. That only things that are part of a meal fit for a king, and that would use this not as a snack, but as an actual banquet for a king, if it can't be used for that, then who is going to put full in front of a king at a banquet? My God, that's like saying potato chips. You're going to serve it at what? We're talking about kings. We're not talking about Obama. So, over here, the Bishul Akum therefore would not apply, and full is not considered to be roly in that case. Therefore, time adenim b'nei Torah. It's only because they can't be machalic in their minds, these differences. But b'nei Torah, it would have been mutter, the third part. Okay, so now that opens up the question of what the din is of a ger that has mila and out tefila. And it turns out that that is a machlokas. Tan rabban. Ger, shemal velo taval. Rebbe Eliezer Omer, look, I mean, the original gerut doesn't say anything about going to the mikveh. I mean, the idea of there was that Ken Matsinu Bavotenu. We find the same thing. They come, they leave Eretz Mitzrayim. It says over there everybody needed to get Mila and so on, but doesn't say anything about going to Mikvah. So they went to the Mikvah. Apparently, they were Malo Volotavlo.
Coming into the Jordan?
That's 40 years later. We're talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim, it said everybody had to go get a Mila.
Sinai, that's where.
Later on, we'll get to Sinai. Right now, we're talking about leaving Mitzrayim. Yeah. So, okay, Matzino Bavotenu, Malu Velo Tavlu. Okay, so I say that's enough. How about if it was Tava Velo Mal? Rabbi Yeshua says, well, that's good. Because, I mean, how did all of the Jewish mothers become Jewish? If, I mean, they didn't get a bris mila, they must have gone to the mikvah, right? So it must have been Tavlo Velo Mal. The Chachonim Omrim, either way, Tavlo Velo Mal, Mal Velo Taval, is insufficient. Ein Oger, Archimo Vitvo. But I understand. So why doesn't Rabbi Yehoshua learn out from the Avot that were mulled by Mitzrayim? Why isn't Rabbi Eliezer learn out from the Imahot? I mean, how can you concentrate only on one or the other? It's obvious that you don't need Mila if the women didn't get Mila, so you should bring a raya from the fact that Tefillah was enough. And it's obvious that Tefillah is enough. So why don't we learn one from the other? Now, I know what you're going to tell me. You're going to tell me, well, obviously the women didn't get Mila. It'd be a little difficult to do. You're going to say you cannot bring a raya from a case where something is not possible and use it as a proof to a case where it is possible. If somebody could get Mila, then they need Mila, right? But that's not true, because this is the sheet of Rebbe Eliezer. It happens to be that Rebbe Eliezer in general holds that you can bring raya from a case that is impossible otherwise. Because Rebbe Eliezer says, how do you know that you cannot bring a Pesach l'dorot from money that was kodesh with kedushas by Sushani, that you had been paid on? And it has to come dafka min achulin. It has to be completely chulin money. I'll tell you. Because ma Pesach ha'amur b'mitzrayim, ain't about elam achulin. There wasn't any money of Meister Sheni in Mitzrayim, right? Okay, so they brought the Pesach Mitzrayim from Chulin money, by definition. So to the Dorot, Af Pesach on the Dorot, in Obelim and Achulin, to which Rabbi Akiva says, you can't bring a riot for the case where there was no such thing. I mean, we're talking about where there is such a thing. Right? So if he done it, Afshar, Mishi, Afshar, says Rabbi Akiva, to which Rabbi Eliezer replies, absolutely. We bring a riot from the case as it was. Why it was is irrelevant. So you're going to tell me you can't bring a raya from the Imahot? Of course they didn't get Mila. They couldn't get Mila. Oh, okay, but they didn't get Mila. That's all that counts. So here too we should say, he says over there, Alpha Pisha Yefshar, Raya Gdolahi, 100% is Raya. The facts speak for themselves, whatever the circumstances are. V'nilmarei mena, we should learn from it. Therefore, there's got to be another approach. Okay. Ella, the truth is that he must have indeed learned from it. And if there was tefillah without Mila, he's also made that's good enough. So if it was tova v'lomal, kulei amalo pligid man, absolutely, it's good enough. The machlokas is if it was mal v'lo tova. So Rabbi Eliezer says, look, the avot that were yotzu in Mitzrayim were mal v'lo tova, so that should be enough. Whereas Rabbi Yeshua says, no, there was tefillah by the avot also. The avot nami tefillah have it. So where was their tefillah? Minale? Ilem, if it's from Har Sinai. Where over there it says, Midachtiv leichala am v'kidashtem hayom u'machar v'kipsu simlotechem. So, I mean, isn't it obvious? If you needed to put your clothes into the mikveh, that means that they were being noyeg a tremendous chumrah, because most of the metamim are not tameh to be metamim b'gdeyem. So if a mokam she'en ton kibus, ton tefillah, all of the various tameim, say somebody's a bal carrier. Okay, what's the din? He has to wash his clothes? No. He has to go to the mikveh. And yet we are treating you over here with bigger chumrah than that, right? You have to go wash your clothes, which we're taking for granted means in the mikveh. So, I mean, kol shekein, the mokam she'ton kibus here, Har Sinai, din she'ton tefillah, must have been that they were all told to go to the mikveh. Yeah, but that's assuming that chipsusim lotam means to go to the mikveh. How do you, maybe chipsusim lotam means take your clothes to the cleaner and look like a mensch when you come to Har Sinai? How do you know it means bechlal anything to do with the mikveh? Maybe it's mishum dekiyut biyama. That's true. Okay, the raya would be from here. Elamiyach. Vayikach Moshe at Adam, vayizrok al Adam, alam. So there was also, remember, zrikas dam at Har Sinai. So he took half of the dam, he was Vayasem Ba'aganot, and he went ahead and he was Zorek Alam, so he did Hazayah. And Gemire, we know the halacha, there is never a case when you can do Hazayah that does not require tefillah. We go through all of the cases in the Torah. And therefore he's taking for granted that there must have been a kosher tefillah before. And, okay, that's all very nice. I mean, how did Rabbi Yehoshua take for granted that when he started this argument, he said there must have been tefillah on the Imahot? Where exactly did he see that? Because it's a svara. If they couldn't do mila, so in what sense would the gemara nichlasu tachat kanfei hashkina? I don't understand why we would look at it as coming under yadav shakadosh baruch hu. There was no such thing. They didn't do anything at all. It must have been that there was some maisis. It's got to be that there was mila. Whereas he paskins liolam enogerachim avitfa. Isn't this obvious? We just had a machlokas for the Lord, Rabbi Yeshua, and the Chachomim. See, I need Rabbi Yochanan to tell me that Allah is like the Rabbi. Of course, it's like the Rabbi. Pshita Yochanan, Rabbi, like the Rabbi. But every time we have a machlokas between the Chachomim and someone, we have to paskin like the Chachomim. Yes, but it's because Rabbi Yochanan knew that in this case, the Chachomim are not a group of people. The Chachomim is the Shita of Rabbi Yossi. Because we see that from the Braisa, clearly. The Tanya. Somebody comes along and he says, we don't know who he is. He's Bavi Amar Malti Velo Tavalti. Listen, I got a mila and such and such a bezdin. I didn't get a chance to do tefila yet. I'd like you guys to be tevel me and let's finish the ceremony, you know. Might be a no to. Why not? Be tevel and umabaka. What's the problem? Your problem is that, I mean, maybe you don't really know whether his mila was a shemila or not.
What about Kabbalah's mitzvahs?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, he's saying, yes, of course, with Kabbalah's mitzvahs. Yeah, he says, let's finish this up. So what do you care? So what are you going to say? Well, I can't do that. I mean, I don't know whether the mila was a kosher mila in front of a bezdin. Maybe you're an Arab, you know, and maybe you've got an Arabic mila. I mean, what's this? How am I supposed to go ahead and say, okay, yes, our bezdin is makabel you as a ger and so on, just because you were table in front of us? Says Rabbi Yehuda, yes, because who cares anyway, umabakach. Even if the mila was not l'shem gerut, the tefillah would have been insufficient. That's Rabbi Yehoshita. Rabbi Yossi says, no. Ain't matpilim? Of course you can't be matpilim. Because if he's an Arab, would he be matpilim, l'shem mitzvahs, and so on? He needs to have a bris milah, because the tefillah alone would be insufficient. So you see your machlokas. Rabbi Yossi is the one who says, ain't matpilim. And lefichav, because of this, matpilim ger b'shabbat, divrei Rabbi Yehuda, it also follows that according to Rabbi Yehuda, since the idea of the tefillah over here would be the, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the conclusion, okay, so you'd be able to be matpil the ger b'shabbat, and Rabbi Yossi would say, ain't matpilim. What? The problem is we would not do a tefillah on Shabbos if the tefillah, the parshas of the sugya is, if the tefillah was a true tikkun of the individual. Because it's like mitaking God. Mm-hmm. The Rambam learns that the issue is mishpat. And we're going to see that Gerut is considered to be mishpat. So since it's called mishpat, it ain't mishpat for Shabbos. That's the real issue, Rambam holds. Because otherwise we should aser tefillah for tumah on Shabbos, and we're not. Right? Okay. But whatever the issue is, we basically are saying that according to Rabbi Yehuda, it is sufficient that you would do one or the other. Okay, so in a case where we know that we had the mila, this is what we're assuming. I'm going to talk about this in a second. But we're assuming that when Rabbi Yehuda said, nu, mabakach, it's because mabakach means either the mila would have been sufficient or the tefillah would have been sufficient. So since he was already mal, so basically what's the tefillah? The tefillah is like, you know, it's the end of the ceremony, fine. So that's like being tefillah for your tumah. So there's no problem because it isn't really the chalos of the geras. Mashenu can according to Rabbi Yossi, who holds that you need both, so it's a true tikkun. Without it, you're not Jewish. But mainly, we don't allow you to do it. Again, according to Rambam, the issue is, so this is really the act of Bezdin on Shabbos. We don't do that on Shabbos. You'll wait until Sunday. Okay. So now, Omar, you're saying, l'fichach matbilin ger b'shabbat. Isn't that obvious? That since Rabbi Yehuda said b'chod asagya, so if he had already done mila in front of the Bezdin, so then what's the problem? Matbilin, even on Shabbos. Now, Tosis points out that this is a very strange question. How do you know that that's what Rabbi Yehuda holds, that one or the other is enough? Didn't we just have the sheet of Rabbi Yeshua that not one or the other, but that the tefillah is what does the job? So therefore, I don't care if you're an Arab. How do you know it's one or the other? So if that's the case, maybe on the contrary, maybe the tefillah does the ikar job. And now can the Gemara say pshita? This is an answer for this. The Gemara is assuming that it's one or the other. Not that. When it's not the same case, it's not an extension of the first case. It's It's a different case. So what do I need Lefecha for? Because Ma'od HaTema that Alibet Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda is made that the tefillah is the ikr. In other words, you know, it's true that I can achieve with the mila and the tefillah, but, you know, the tefillah is the best thing. Therefore, you don't do tefillah b'Shabbos, become a takin gavra. Gomashma, it's not the yikr. You have your choice. Either mila is just as good. You know, boy. And next piece, Rabbi Yossi, ain't mad feeling. Isn't that also obvious? Since Rabbi Yossi says you need both, isn't it clear that the kudah gavra b'Shabbat alomat kanina? No. Here too, ma'ad table Rabbi Yossi, mila yikr. And Atam Hu, it's only that case where the guy came where we didn't even know if it was a real Mila, maybe it was an Arab, and Lo Havi Mila Bifanenu, but could be. I would have thought that Echad Havi Mila Bifanenu, if the Bezdin had done the Mila, so then okay, it's not so bad to do the bearded Tfilah B'Shabbos. It's not a conclusion of the ceremony, the secondary element of the ceremony. Gamash Ron, the Rabbi Yossi Tarti boy, that it's actually Ma'akif. Omar Rabba Uv Da Havi Be Rabhiya. Barabi. There was a maisa by Rabbi Chiya Barabi of, wait, before we finish the story, Rabbi Yosef says it wasn't only Rabbi Chiya Barabi, it was also Rabbi Shaya Barabi. Oh, okay, fine. And the maisa was, no, wait, Rabbi Safra says, hold on. There was also Rabbi Shaya Barabi Chiya. Okay, can I continue now? Yes. The Atel Kame Ger, a Ger comes, and it's at nighttime, you know, and he knocks on the door and he says, listen, you know, here's my certificate. I was mauled in front of Bezel. We didn't have time to be Tova. I would like to get your signature that I was Tova. So Rabbi Chiya told him, well, you know what? Stay overnight. Tomorrow morning, we'll go to the mikveh. So Ad L'Machar V'Nitvaleh. So you see from here three things. First of all, from the fact that we keep interrupting this story and that Rav Safra has to add that there was a third person present, obviously, it's because it's telling you the Ger Tzarech Shlosha. Otherwise, if I'm Mela, you want to tell me other people were there, you can tell me afterwards, you know. But you see that it's essential for us to know that there were these three people present.
So Bezdin is the servant?
Yeah, you need to have a Bezdin. And that it wouldn't have been enough. Vishmamina, Eno Ger, Achimo Vietvo. You see, furthermore, from here, that you need Tvila. Vishmamina, Ainmat Bilin Ger Balaila. You also see that they had to wait till the morning. But why don't we also say Shmamina that we need Mumchim? That we need people that are, all these three people were Dayanim Mumchim. So maybe it means a Bezdin that accepts a Ger has to be Mumchim. No, that, you can't prove that. Dilma de Iklu, maybe it worked out that way. But from the fact that we had to interrupt the story to tell us that there were three people there, the Chora, that does definitely prove that actually you need to have the Bezdin that is going to be present.
But Hedyot is enough.
And that head, but yeah, I mean, Lamaisa can't prove that Hedyot is enough, but Lamaisa Hedyot is enough. On Reb Chiya Bar Rava and Yochanan, indeed, Ger Tzarich Shlosha, we know from the fact that the Torah writes Mishpat, as Mishpat Echad Yelachem, Ger Kezra. So apparently, it's comparing the Gerut per se to Mishpat. Okay, well, wait.